Welcome to another episode of the Gunblog Variety Cast with your hosts, Sean Sorrentino and Aaron Paulette.
Welcome to episode 176, the final episode of Gunblog Variety Cast Radio, a proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network. How are you doing, Aaron?
Well, I'm pretty bummed out, Sean. Not because of Christmas. I got through that pretty well, and I received a lot of cool stuff, and I gave some great presents to my friends. But because this is the last episode of Gunblog Variety Cast Radio.
This is not an April Fool's joke. This is, in fact, the final episode of Gunblog Variety Cast Radio. We've got 176 episodes, and as far as I know, we didn't miss a single week since we started.
I do recall at one point me goading you into saying, what, you're not going to put one out this week? What are you, a P-word? But, yeah, we have had some creative solutions. One time, we did put out an episode that was just a story from Law Dog.
And a couple of times, we did the NRA wrap-up show rather than, say, like a standard episode.
And one, the greatest, Weirdy and Pony Show, after NRA annual meeting in 2016.
That was pretty funny. I remember getting your and Weird's segment. And I said, you know what? This is the whole show. I mean, like, there's no room for Adam and I. So Adam gets on, and I'm like, Adam, let's just do an intro and an outro and be done. He's like, I'm game because I'm tired.
He's always tired.
Our first episode was August 23rd, 2014. So we've gone 3 years and 3 months. And I think that's a pretty good run.
It is a pretty good run. I feel bad that I actually didn't make as many episodes as Adam did. It's a very weird benchmark, and I'm being stupidly competitive, but there it is.
176, and he lasted until episode, what, 97? That's pretty close, Aaron. So like I said last week, I'm taking up gliding as a hobby. I'm going to learn how to fly a sailplane, and I'm going to finally get my private pilot's license, even if it is a private pilot glider rather than a private pilot single engine land. I started on that license when I was 14 years old, so maybe it's time 34 years later to finally finish it up. I'll still be shooting competitively, mostly at the H2O Fowl Farms IDPA on the second Saturdays of each month.
Other than not doing the podcast anymore, nothing is changing for me. I'm still editing the Blue Collar Prepping blog 5 days a week. I'm still writing for my nerd blog, Lurking Rhythmically. And I'm still working on turning Operation Blazing Sword into a nationally recognized name. So you can find me in all of my other regular haunts, because unlike Sean, who stopped blogging so he could start podcasting and is now quitting podcasting because he's burned out, I'm not going to stop making things. By the way, I do have a large podcast-shaped hole in my schedule now, so if anyone is looking for a co-host or contributor, send me an email at aaron.palette@gmail.com.
And that would be Palette, P-A-L-E-T-T-E, right?
Yes, it's Palette, not Palette.
Now, I will not be starting a new podcast, not on gliding, not on guns, not on anything. Though I still am available for the occasional, and I stress occasional, guest appearance if anybody's interested. But I'm not going to be a regular contributor to anything. Not if I want my wife to not stab me. Well, Aaron, for one last time, do you think you could thank our sponsors?
Thanks to Lucky Gunner and Remington for their support of Gunblog Variety Cast Radio. From Golden Saber to Range Rounds, get a full lineup of quality Remington ammo that ships fast at LuckyGunner.com.
All right, so let's get on with the rest of the last show.
Beth Alcazar first appeared on the podcast as a special guest in episode 73. Sean heard her guest appearance on another podcast and thought she would make a fantastic guest on ours. We were so impressed with her professionalism and good sense that we asked her to join the podcast as a regular contributor for episode 81, and she's been with us ever since. How she managed to record with her incredibly hectic schedule, we'll never know, but she's always brought us good, sensible information, and much to Sean's relief, she even edited her own segments. One of these days, I'm going to have to take a shooting class with her.
I saw a quote the other day that said, "At the end of the day, your feet should be dirty, your hair should be messy, and your eyes sparkling." And I think that really hits home, especially for this very last segment that I get to share with you guys. I tend to be a little bit obsessive compulsive about things. I know I've always had this issue. So perfectionism kind of comes into play, and the need for being in control and keeping everything neat and tidy also comes into play. But honestly, when it all comes down to it, I think there is so much life and so much truth in this crazy little quote that life doesn't have to be perfect to be meaningful, to be wonderful, to be enlightening, to be fun. And honestly, if you have really done something that makes a difference, if you have really done something that's worthwhile, if you have done something that you will cherish and remember, then you're probably not ending up at the end of that day with everything in perfect order. You probably are a bit dirty, and it might be more than just your feet, maybe your hands, maybe your clothes. Your hair probably is messy from all the fun and all the craziness and all the reality, but most importantly, your eyes should be sparkling because they tell a story. They tell the story of what you've experienced. They tell the story that it was all worth it. And that's how I feel right now, looking back. All this fun that I've had with the Gunblog Variety Cast, the people that I've met, the friendships that I've built, the networking that I've done. Sometimes it got a little bit messy and dirty. Sometimes it was a lot of work and frustration. Sometimes it was hard to fit into the schedule with, well, all the other things that go on. Life interrupts sometimes. But I have to admit that at the end of this grand adventure with all of you and all of my co-hosts and friends, I think my feet did get a little bit dirty. My hair is definitely messy, but most importantly, my eyes are certainly sparkling. Thank you all for the opportunity to share, to rant, to rave, to just be real for a while, and hopefully maybe to give a little bit of wisdom and guidance and inspiration, because I know I've learned that from everyone else, and I look forward to that each and every day. Farewell to everyone, and sincere thanks for listening and for all the downloads. Please make sure to follow me on Facebook at Pacifiers and Peacemakers with Beth Alcazar, and check out all the great training videos, articles, and blog posts available through uscca.com and on the USCCA's YouTube channel. As well, don't forget my new book, Women's Handgun and Self-Defense Fundamentals, available now. I hope wherever you go and whatever you do, you constantly remember to stay safe and be well armed.
You can read more from Beth at usconcealedcarry.com/blog and click on Pacifiers and Peacemakers in the left sidebar.
Baron has been with us since the beginning. His background in electrical engineering and computers meant that frequently he had to dumb down his segments so as to not confuse the heck out of me. Towards the end of the podcast, he was only able to contribute sporadically, but I was always happy with his content, assuming I could understand it. In his final segment, he has a special announcement, which so far has only been shared with his family, but he's going to let you be one of the first to know in
Tech Tips,
Tech Tips, Tech Tips.
You are damaging my calm.
Tech Tips with the Baron.
Hey everyone, I'm here with my family today, and well, I'd like to say thanks for listening for so long, and sorry I didn't do nearly as much lately, but frankly I've been busy with the family, busy with the kiddo. You want to say hi, Harry? Say hi, bud. Nope, he's going to hit the microphone. And my wife's here, and well, life has just gotten exceptionally busy, and it's about to get even busier, because the wife is expecting, well, you want to tell him?
July 17th is looking like the big day.
So, yep, in July we will have a second kiddo, and Harry will have a little brother or little sister. Thanks for listening, and we appreciate all the support that we've gotten from the fans. I will still be blogging at my blog from time to time, the-minuteman.org. And you can follow me on Facebook as well as YouTube. I don't do nearly as much on YouTube. And you can also find me on Twitter at the Minuteman. I thought about doing that for a while. It's actually at Baron Barnett. Feel free to ask me any questions if you have any. And well, hopefully I will be around in some other great adventure at some point. Thanks for listening and see you guys around.
Baron still blogs at the-minuteman.org.
Nikki Kenyon was one of the original contributors to the podcast because I recommended her to Sean when he was assembling the cast. Her segment, Foreign Policy for Grown-Ups, was one of my favorites. With her background in international relations and experience with Armed Forces Radio, she brought class and professionalism to the podcast. Unfortunately, her actual job with the federal government began taking up so much of her time that she was unable to contribute to the podcast anymore, and so she hung up her mic in episode 93. Due to her change in job, she can no longer write her blog, though a little bird told me that if you know where to look, you might just find articles so similar to her style that you'd swear she was the one behind the keyboard.
Hi, this is Nikki Kenyon. It's been a great run, hasn't it? I got pretty busy over the past year. 2 jobs, new house, a kid who decided to join the Army Reserves while he's in school studying finance, another kid who continues to excel in the Marine Corps, elderly dog, crazy cat. Anyway, so I decided to stop blogging. There was just no time for it, so I shut down the Liberty Zone. I did, however, compile a number of blog entries into a huge file, and I may publish them as an ebook someday. It's been a crazy year. I've been sitting around munching popcorn and watching new administration unfold. There's a collective cringe in my office anytime our POTUS has a spastic Twitter attack. I'm loving the fact that we are kicking ISIS in their collective gonads, and that we have a strong ambassador to the United Nations who finally is giving those tin pot dictators a finger. As well we should. The new national security strategy was just introduced a few days ago. It thankfully recognizes Russia as a major threat and adds transnational criminal organizations as a priority in addition to jihadis and chemical, biological, and nuclear threats. Also making cyber threats to the U.S. infrastructure as a national security priority smart. We're way behind in our cyber strategy, and given the increased proliferation of cyber threats, ransomware attacks, the targeting of financial institutions, hospitals, and other infrastructure, we really need to get on it. On a personal front, I seem to be falling apart. I had reconstructive surgery on my left ankle about a year ago, and next year is looking pretty promising for the same on the right ankle. So much for doing any actual running. But I have really great running shoes. I'm just getting older and crankier. But I did want to say so long, thanks for listening, and have a great 2018.
This is Rob Morse of the Self-Defense Gun Stories Podcast. I'm reminding you that this podcast is one of the many good ones on the Self-Defense Radio Network. Check out the other podcasts at selfdefenseradio.net.
Miguel Gonzalez was an original contributor to the podcast and stuck with us until episode 36, when he left us because he just didn't enjoy the process. He was always happier behind the scenes than in front of the mic. We were fortunate, however, that by episode 137 he'd bought a new mic and had come back with a new segment, The Mental Flea Market. Or the flea market of ideas. We never really did agree on the title. The new mic made him easier to understand, and the new solo recording format made the process easier and a lot more fun for him. I was glad that he came back, and I really appreciate the fans that teased him and bullied him into giving it another shot.
Hello, heathens, and this is my goodbye. Yes, kind of sad and sucks. But everything has an expiration date, you know, such as life. This podcast has come to its natural end, and don't feel bad about it. It's the nature of any human enterprise. A great amount of good information emanated from this here podcast. I do hope you found it useful and made you better prepared. All the contributors put time and experience in oral form for you to absorb and maybe help you along the way. I do hope even my meager contribution may have helped or will do so. I just want to remind you one last time not to trust what somebody has told you it is true, but to go straight to the source, as you never know if the one passing you the info has an agenda, is an idiot, or is simply wrong. But I repeat myself. And while we are all emotional animals, don't let the initial emotion drive you. Be smart, be an asshole, and suspect everything and everybody until otherwise proven the opposite. It is still avoidance, deterrence, and de-escalation. And the good old, don't play stupid games unless you want to win stupid prizes. You will never be 100% right. Nobody is. But if you're just 50 or 60%, You are way ahead of the immense majority of your fellow humans. Life-saving operations start with you and then spread to your loved ones, because without you, the loved ones may not make it. You are the one who's responsible for being prepared. Never forget that self-defense is not an sporting event. The enemy does not get to play by the same rules you do, and you do whatever is necessary to win. That is all. May you have a great life. And this is Miguel, signing off.
Get more Miguel daily at gunfreezone.net.
When we learned that we were going to lose Nikki Kenyon as a contributor, Sean started to panic. What would we do? Where were we going to find another person? He ended up emailing Gail Pepin of the Pro Arms podcast and asked her if she had any recommendations for women who could fill those shoes, and she recommended Tiffany Johnson. All it took was one phone call with Tiffany, and we knew that she was the one who we wanted. She, and her mom, who we first met back in episode 111, soon became a listener favorite. Tiffany figured there would be no better way to close out the year than to bring her mom back to help her wish the listeners a prosperous new year.
You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view. Till you climb inside of his skin, walk around in it.
Hi, everybody. This is Tiffany. I hope you're having a wonderful week. And I am here with a very special guest, someone you have met before, someone I've known for a very long time, and her name is Cookie.
Hi, everybody.
But I call her Mo, which is short for mother, because she's my mom. How are you today, Mo?
I'm doing fine. As fine as I can.
Why do you have the giggles?
Because. But you stop making me do that.
I didn't do anything. I just asked you a question. Get it together now.
I'm doing pretty good. Okay, I'm doing pretty good. Okay.
So, this is my very last segment for the Gunblog Variety Cast. So, I figured it would be a fitting farewell to have you join me. Did you enjoy the podcast?
Yes, I did. I enjoyed it very much. It was very informative, and it just made me want to get back in the books and back on the range.
You appeared, I forget which episode that was. We'll put a link in the show notes. But last time you were on the show, you talked a little bit about the handgun carry permit class that we did when you first learned how to shoot. But we didn't get a chance to get into an experience that you've relayed to me a couple of times before. So just to set the scene really quick, how old were you?
I was 17, because that was in April. I hadn't turned 18 yet.
It was April of what year?
Of 19, no, I was 19 of 1968.
And what else happened in April of 1968?
Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, and Memphis was on lockdown, and we were under curfew. And my best friend's mom had just suffered a miserable beating by her boyfriend, and we were very concerned about her because I was close to the family. And we hopped in my car, and although it was during curfew hours and we weren't supposed to be out on the street, we took a chance anyway. We got about, maybe a mile from our destination, which was at the medical center in the downtown area near the medical district. And just as we got to the Beale Street Historic District, right at the red light at Beale and 3rd, from each side, the east corner and the west corner, came about 5 National Guardsmen from each corner. They marched out very seriously, stood across the street, blocking the intersection, stopped our car, raised these highly polished shotguns.
They had long guns.
They had long guns, and the long guns had silver barrels. And the only thing I could think about was how shiny those barrels were and what were they thinking. So, you know, we were searched and everything, and we played our story, and, you know, we were trying to get to the hospital to check on our mother and blah, blah, blah. And they kind of looked at each other and they made us get out of the car and they searched the car. And after all that was over, one kind of gruff looking guy, you know, I guess he was the, if it was a good cop, bad cop scenario, he would have been the bad cop. He finally said, "And where did you say this hospital was?" And I said, "It's about two blocks up the street." He said, "Well, I want you to go straight there. We're going to let you through." And I thought, oh, my heart just sank. I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm not going to die tonight. You know what I mean? You know, there was so much going on. They were tearing up the city. I mean, it was just, it was horrible. It was scary. And I know I was stupid for doing what I did, but I did it nonetheless. I was 19 years old.
You mean for going out after curfew? Yeah. During the riots? Curfew.
Yeah. Memphis was on lockdown from 6 a.m. to 6 a.m., mm-hmm. basically. You know, so...
Was that the first time you had ever had a gun pointed at you?
Very first time. That was the first time I had ever really seen a gun in person, long or short, that wasn't on a movie. I had never even laid eyes on a real handgun.
Do you think that experience might have subconsciously shaped your opinions about guns or your attitude towards guns?
Oh, hell yeah. You better believe it did. I didn't want anything to do with anybody that had a gun, knew about guns, was around. I just didn't want to if the word gun was mentioned, I was out of there.
So it was the fact that your first exposure to guns was an experience that was very fearful and intimidating.
Extremely fearful, extremely intimidating. You know, you have to keep in mind that it wasn't just one gun.
Right.
It wasn't just one person. And all those guns were pointed at us.
How do you think, you were 19 when this happened. Give me a hypothetical, imaginary situation that might have shaped your early views on guns differently. What could have been a more positive experience that would have left you less fearful of guns?
Well, I could have been educated about them and not just have one cocked up in my face, you know. Like I said, I had no experience, period. You know, none of my family members that I was aware of had firearms, you know, the adults in my family. I know we never grew up with one in the household. And I even had my grandparents at some point in the household with us. And, you know, they were not hunters and didn't have firearms or anything. So that was my very, very first experience. I had never seen a gun.
What kind of education do you think would have been helpful?
Well, at least to know the basics about them. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the basics about anything is a perfect starting point. But to have no knowledge whatsoever, I mean, fear is a terrible thing.
Who do you think would have been the best person or type of person to introduce you to guns, you know, because as opposed to you having your first exposure from hostile police officers, what do you think, what kind of person might you have been more receptive to when learning something new that's maybe a little bit scary?
Well, you know, a responsible adult, I guess the best case scenario would have been my father. He did serve in the military, but he was divorced. They were, you know, my mom and dad were divorced when I was six. So if he had any experience with them, and I'm sure he did, I never got old enough, you know, to the age to where he would do that. And then he wasn't that kind of father anyway. So, you know, a close relative, someone I respected.
Someone you trusted?
Yeah.
What advice would you give to people who are still battling fears, lingering fears of firearms due to an early traumatic experience?
I guess my best advice would be to do what I did, which was go to a class, get some firsthand knowledge, read, don't play around with firearms, don't be around other people who play around with firearms. Get educated about them, learn how to properly handle it, eventually how to properly use it.
Well, I think that's excellent advice. Thank you, Mom. See, you're such a wonderful parent to a whole bunch of people who don't even get to meet you in person like I do.
So, by the way, while you're being all schmoozy, my handgun carry permit is about to expire.
Uh-oh, we can't have that.
February.
Okay, well, we need to renew it, don't we?
And I haven't been to the range in a year and a half. Maybe 2 years.
Oh, that's unacceptable.
And I don't even own a handgun.
I think she's dropping hints here. What do you guys think? Yeah. Could you be a little more subtle with your hints?
I want everybody to know. I want the world to know.
Now everybody's going to be on my case about taking my mom to the range.
Time is squeezing. And see, my problem is I can't go with just anybody.
Right.
I have to go with somebody I trust.
Perfect.
And all the people that I know and respect and trust are so busy, they don't have time for little old me.
See, now you're making me feel bad. Okay. Now that you have embarrassed me in front of the entire listening audience, I promise you I will take you to the range. If it makes you feel any better, I hadn't had time to take myself to the range
either. But you know what I really like to do?
What's that?
All kidding aside?
What?
I'd like to go through the class again.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, good. That's excellent. I would love for you to go to the class again.
I feel rusty. I'd like to feel fresher about my knowledge and what I did learn.
We will make that happen.
Okay.
Let's do that. Let's do that immediately. I'll work on setting that up.
Yippee!
Oh my goodness. Seriously?
Really? Seriously, seriously.
Did you just do that?
Wow. Yes, I just did.
Thank goodness this is radio and not television.
Yeah.
All right. What's the last thing you want to say to all of our listeners? And I told you, you have some adoring fans. When you were on the segment last time, I got tons of emails from people saying, oh my goodness, your mom's adorable.
Oh my goodness.
So
that's sweet.
What do you have to say to all the people listening who will sadly, most of whom will sadly never hear your voice again?
Oh, well, I'd like to say it's been good meeting the ones that I met, and I appreciate all the beautiful compliments. And I plan to continue to educate myself and keep learning.
Well said. I hope that a lot of folks listening will follow your lead. So I have been sadly, woefully neglecting my blog, as some of you may have noticed, but I haven't abandoned it. I will get back to blogging. Like my mom said, I've been really, really busy this semester in particular in the last couple of months, but I am rearranging my schedule. I'm trying to carve out some more free time, and I will get back to the blog. And I've also got a few new projects that I'm hoping to be able to announce really soon. So stay tuned for exciting updates. If anybody needs to reach me, I am at frontsightpress.com. It's been real, y'all. Thanks for listening. And on that note, I will bid everyone a fond and final farewell. And as always, you guys stay safe and keep it centered and even.
Bye-bye.
You can follow Tiffany at frontsightpress.com.
Adam was our original co-host, a family man with two children and a wonderful wife who all live in the Nashville area. Adam has hosted me at his house twice, once for NRA annual meeting in 2015, and more recently back in August for the Eclipse. Hopefully you got a sense of what a cool guy he was from his time as a co-host. It's a sad loss to blogging and podcasting that he's not still active, but family must come first. He left us in episode 97 to spend what little free time he had with his two young sons and his wife. Here he is one final time to say goodbye.
Hey guys, it's former co-host Adam from GunsCarsTech.com. Actually, am I really still from there? I probably posted twice in the last 3 years. Anyway, kind of sad to hear that Gunblog VarietyCast is finishing its run, although I can be sympathetic. In fact, this is about the 10th time that I've sat down to actually record this, but I had to wait until the kids and the wife and the dog were all gone. Although it appears that my neighbor has decided to pick this afternoon to put his roof on. So, Sean, I apologize for the possible roofing nails that you're hearing. So many of you may not know this, but the way the podcast started was that Sean actually put up a thing on YouTube, and then a couple of days later put up a post on his blog and said, "Hey, so I'm thinking about doing a podcast. What do you think?" And I commented, "Well, shoot, I'll do one with you." And there you go. That's how that worked out. So please don't go back and listen to the first 10 episodes. The first 10 episodes are terrible. Don't do that. Ever. In fact, I told Sean at the beginning that that's what was going to happen, is the first 10 episodes were going to be absolutely awful. And this segment might actually be pretty awful because I haven't done this in I don't know how long. Whatever. Also, I'm really tired. Okay. There we go. So I've still been making my Switch panels and doing new designs and whatnot. So if you want to check those out, those are over at xjswitchpanels.com for, you know, the Cherokee XJ. Work has been absolutely brutal. I've been promoted a couple of times since I quit the podcast. And now I work about 60 hours a week. Yay! I've really enjoyed listening to the other segments. Most of you don't know this, but I've only met about half the hosts. I think Sean has met everybody. I'm not entirely sure. But I haven't even talked to, say, Baron or Miguel or Nikki. But I have thoroughly enjoyed listening to them over the last couple of years. Miguel especially after we got him the good microphone. Man, that was a big improvement, wasn't it? So I'm kind of sad to see the podcast go because it's one of the ones that I still listen to. I only listen to 4 or 5 podcasts a week. But this is, you know, it's a little bittersweet. You know, like I said, I can't say is that I blames them because this real life stuff kind of gets difficult. You know, gun podcasts and gun blogs are much different than a lot of the other hobby podcasts out there because, well, there's no money in it. So everybody kind of does this, you know, for fun. And once it becomes not fun anymore, people stop doing it. But you folks out there listening, you guys are the reason why we do it. And it was a lot of fun. And like I said, sad to see you guys go. We will talk to you guys later. I am so tired.
You can find Adam's blog, though probably not Adam, at gunscarstech.com. And you can find 3D printed switch panels for your Jeep XJ at xjswitchpanels.com. He's tired. Yep, we agreed that the first 10 episodes of every podcast suck. It took a long time for me to learn not to interrupt people in their own segments. Aaron, you started scripting your blue collar prepping segments just so I wouldn't interrupt you anymore, didn't you?
I did. Partly so that I wouldn't lose my train of thought when you interrupted, and partly because I could give you cues for where and when to interrupt. And you liked the format so much you had other contributors use it.
Of the people on the podcast, I've met Aaron, Adam, Tiffany, Beth, and Weird in person. But I've never met face-to-face with Nikki, Miguel, or Baron.
The same. Baron is on the opposite coast, and Miguel and I just don't move in the same circles despite living in the same state. I had an opportunity to meet Nikki when I was up in Maryland last spring, but she had some lame excuse like a prior commitment or being sick, so we never met up.
Yeah, wasn't she like barfing up a lung at the time?
Well, I think so, but you know, you can barf up a lung any day. How many chances do you get to meet me?
I know, seriously. Barf up the lung, move on.
Exactly. Walk it off.
Well, she was in the army. A little Motrin and a glass of water, she's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're not laughing, you weren't in the military. At least not the Army or the Marine Corps. Over the course of the podcast, we've had a couple of sponsors. We've already mentioned Lucky Gunner and Remington, but our first regular sponsor was attorney Andrew Branca of Law of Self-Defense. Both Aaron and I took his Law of Self-Defense seminars, and I think it was absolutely worth it. What about you, Aaron?
Oh, absolutely. If you don't take any other classes, take Law of Self-Defense, and then Mag 20 Classroom, the Armed Citizens Rules of Engagement. Those two should get you through just about anything you need, and the rest is just fun and icing.
I totally agree. I learned so much about the law in those two classes. It's amazing that I made it through life without them. So take those classes. Here's a pro tip. If you want to take a class from Andrew, and we highly recommend that you do, you can still get the discount on the class if you use the discount code VARIETY at checkout. Go to lawofselfdefense.com for a list of classes near you.
We can't forget to say a special thanks to Firearms Policy Coalition, who have supported us financially as well.
Firearms Policy Coalition is a great organization in California fighting on the very front lines of gun rights. All the worst examples of gun control are present in the one-party state of the People's Republic of California, and Firearms Policy Center has been fighting both at the ballot box and in the courts to stop what they can and to bring the sort of lawsuits which will eventually lead to a Supreme Court decision in our favor.
You can join Firearms Policy Coalition at firearmspolicy.org. Now, Sean, we can't let this segment end without a mention of the purple plastic party pistol and Carolina ceramic coating.
Bud treated me really well, and his Cerakote team did a fantastic job on my competition pistol. So one last time, here's their radio spot, along with my sincere thanks. Cerakote is a polymer ceramic composite coating that can be applied to metals, plastics, polymers, and wood. It's also what will take your plain Jane firearm from basic to full custom. Whether you want a handgun coated in just a single color, your hunting rifle camouflaged for your specific environment, or your competition pistol sprayed in purple, white, and black Carolina Cryptic, you want Carolina ceramic coating to do the job. Bud and his team of skilled technicians will carefully disassemble and clean your firearm, professionally apply the Cerakote in your choice of colors and patterns, and return your firearm to you in perfect working order. And they also do auto engine parts. When I wanted my competition handgun Cerakoted, I trusted Carolina Ceramic Coating, and you should too. Check out their work on Instagram. Search at CerakoteNC, that's at CERAKOTENC, or go to CarolinaCeramicCoating.com. Weird is another original contributor.
The podcast bicycle,
as he is fondly known, can be found all across the podcast realm. He's on The Squirrel Report, Handgun Radio, and has frequent guest appearances on Geeks, Gadgets, and Guns. His segment, This Week in Anti-Gun Nuttery, developed over time and drove some of the recording techniques that we use on this show. It's because of the audio fisks that he pioneered that I eventually went to multi-track recording and using what's called a cart machine to play audio segments for him. I relied on his professionalism and his enthusiasm for the entire run of this podcast. Weird truly is the most relentlessly optimistic person you have ever met. In This Week in Anti-Gun Nuttery.
So here we are, the end of the line. I'm pretty sad about saying that. This show did really amazing things. I'm super proud of the subjects covered in This Week in Anti-Gun Nuttery. I'm also so happy to have met and worked with all the other contributors of this fine show. I'd known most of the gang before the first episode, but I was introduced to Nikki, Beth, and Tiffany through the show. I've even met several of the listeners. Tiffany's segment, I feel, dovetailed with the work I did exceptionally well. This Week in Anti-Gun Nuttery did opposition research into the world of gun control and exposed how craven some of our opponents really were. While Tiffany's segment covered that anybody who isn't a diehard gun nut isn't always our enemy. These segments worked so well together that Tiffany and I even did a few joint segments that I really enjoyed doing and was quite proud of. Also, I'd like to claim that it was my segment that introduced the world to the Loaded Conversations podcast. Who knows how much longer that show is going to be around. It's barely even a show now. But it is a great insight into the mind of the anti-gun forces. So 176 episodes, and with the exception of a few episodes, I was in all of them, including several co-hosting gigs. It was a really good run, and I'm sad to see it go. So besides all that gracious stuff, how do I do my final segment? I guess I could pretend like nothing has changed and do another audio fisk. Lord knows I have enough material on my hard drive just waiting to be torn apart. But I think that would be a little tone deaf. Instead, I'd like to repeat my mission statement for this segment and close out with some information you should probably already know if you were a regular listener. Even though This Week in Anti-Gun Nuttery is a rebuttal to the talking points of the anti-gun side, it was never a direct rebuttal to the anti-gunners. Just look at the metadata on the Loaded Conversations iTunes page. The people who listen to that show are almost exclusively pro-gun people. Anti-gunners don't even listen to their one and only podcast. So they certainly aren't listening to me flap my gums. No, this show is for pro-gun people. I'm here to gather information for you and present it in an educational and entertaining way, so when you encounter someone who might think that gun control might be worth trying, you won't be hearing the talking points for the first time, and you will have an easier time countering that talking point. And with a little luck and an open mind in the head of the person you're talking to, maybe you could turn an anti-gun supporter into a supporter of the Second Amendment. It's certainly possible. It happened to me. So, for some important takeaway points. Big number one, background check laws are not popular. They may say anything from 70 to 99% of Americans support universal background check laws, but when it comes to anti-gun sponsored bills, they can only get passed by a narrow margin in some of the most anti-gun states. And in all other states where it has been tried, it's been shut down. This is the real reason why background checks failed on the national level and anti-gunners haven't attempted any further national legislation. Also, when you note that the anti-gun groups are pretty dishonest with their numbers and can't even get a serious turnout at a rally, I don't think you ever want to trust anti-gun numbers when it comes to popularity. Also, speaking of background checks, they aren't all that they're cracked up to be. A huge number of their denials are false positives, and where criminals do end up filling out a 4473 in a gun shop and are denied the sale, law enforcement almost never follows up with the case. Here's another big one. When you hear an anti-gunner, specifically a politician or a member of the corporate anti-gun lobby, say, "Nobody is coming for your guns," they are lying. Anti-gunners are always talking about confiscation. They just aren't always keeping that agenda out in the open.
We know that other countries, in response to one mass shooting, have been able to craft laws that almost eliminate mass shootings. Friends of ours, allies of ours, Great Britain, Australia, countries like ours.
The Australian government, as part of trying to clamp down on the availability of automatic weapons, offered a good price for buying hundreds of thousands of guns. So I think that's worth considering.
The Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment.
Anti-gun groups are always praising Australian UK gun control laws, but you will never hear them say the Aussies and the Brits went too far when they rounded up all the guns. That's a very telling omission. Speaking of the UK and Australia, all those gun control laws really didn't do them a lick of good. Australia saw an increase in suicide and a slight increase in violent crime after the ban. And no, their mass shootings didn't go down. They virtually didn't happen before the ban, and they're just as rare now. The UK has seen a massive increase in violent crime after their sweeping gun control laws were passed, including crime involving guns. There is some data showing the crime going down, but those data points happened during a scandal with the UK Home Office where criminal statistics were intentionally being underreported by law enforcement. The New York Police Department has also been caught fudging crime data to make New York City appear safer than it really is. Another anti-gun panacea is gun registries. The fact about them is they are never used by law enforcement to solve crime. Baltimore and the nation of Canada have both chosen to disband their registration system because it was a massive drain on their budget and it was not being used to solve crimes. Registries were used extensively by the UK and Australia to make buybacks of legally held firearms compulsory, and gun crime went up because criminals don't register their guns. Arthur Kellerman is the patron saint of gun control because he was the man to pen the study that says guns in the home is 3 to 30 times more likely to harm somebody good than a bad guy. He's never released the data set, so the numbers cited vary from report to report. Of course, that is not what the study actually says, but that's how the anti-gunners interpret it. The study actually says a gun in the home is more likely to kill somebody known to the shooter than kill a stranger. Well, a woman shooting her abusive ex is an example of that. Do you consider that a bad outcome? But in reality, Kellerman cherry-picked some high-crime neighborhoods to conduct his study and made no controls for criminal activities or if the gun was legally held. So, when one drug dealer kills another, or a gangland hit was carried out, this was recorded as a person getting shot by a known associate. Further, Kellerman only looked at cases ending with a dead body. So a defensive gun use where no shots were fired, the vast majority of all defensive gun uses of a firearm, weren't counted. The study also included suicide, with the implication that a gun in the home can somehow cause suicide. Except that the United States is the most heavily armed nation in the world, and our suicide rate is about average. Japan has a virtually disarmed population and has a much higher rate of suicide than us. And the UK has insanely strict gun laws and about the same suicide rate. Lastly, the big one. In the years between Obama first running for president and the election of Donald Trump, Americans have been buying huge numbers of guns. And despite what the antis say, many of them were new shooters, which we can tell by the number of carry permits issued, as well as the number of gun owners identified as living in urban or suburban areas. And in this time of both increased gun purchases and increased overall gun ownership, violent crime went down. Correlation is not causation, but you can't have causation without correlation. So guns definitely don't increase crime, and any claim to the contrary is simply a bad faith argument.
In addition to appearing here, Weird is a regular host on The Squirrel Report and blogs at weirdworld.com. That's weerdworld.com.
Well, Aaron, that's all of the contributors, so I guess it's your turn.
I guess it is. I had a great time doing this podcast, first as a contributor and then later as co-host. I've met a lot of great people and done a lot of fun things, and I wouldn't trade a moment of it. I do want to thank everyone who supported me and encouraged me over the past 3 years. Thank you for helping me buy new audio equipment. That was a huge help to me and is probably one of the reasons I was picked to be co-host. Speaking of which, thank you to everyone who gave me words of encouragement when I came in as the new co-host and started changing things. I know Adam was a tough act to follow, but I think I did a good job. Thank you to everyone who helped me do a better job, by asking questions, by giving me segment ideas, by helping me attend GRPC last year, and of course, by voting for More Ponies in the contact form on the podcast website. I also want to thank Sean for giving me this opportunity. This podcast has been an amazing platform for boosting the signal of Blue Collar Prepping and Operation Blazing Sword. And so, as a final thank you to everyone, and because both Weird and Tiffany did actual segments instead of just saying goodbye, I'm going to do one final Blue Collar Prepping segment. Roll that pretty pony promo one last time, Sean.
And now it's time for Blue Collar Prepping with that bratty kid sister of the gun blogosphere, Aaron Paulette.
Come on, every pony! It's time for Blue Collar Prepping with Aaron Paulette!
Back in April, I alluded to a secret prep involving the uses of a strategically folded sheet of toilet paper. I didn't talk about it then because I couldn't find a way to be classy about it, but since this is our last podcast, what's Sean gonna do, fire me? I'm gonna share it with you now. This may not be your most important prep, and it definitely isn't the sexiest, but I guarantee that you're going to get more use out of it than any other prep I've taught you. Do you suffer from what is colloquially known as monkey butt? Do you live or work in a hot environment where sweat trickles down your back and into your crack? Do you frequently suffer from, shall we say, gastrointestinal distress? If so, the next time you're sitting on the toilet and you've finished your cleanup, take a few sheets of fresh toilet paper. How many is an individual matter, you're going to need to experiment. Fold them into a rectangle and place that rectangle as snugly against your rectum as possible. When you stand up, your buttocks will hold the paper in place. If you feel like you've given yourself a wedgie, you've used too much. Now, some of you are probably wondering, Aaron, what in the wide world of Equestria will having a wad of TP up against my anus accomplish? And I'm so glad you asked that question, because I'm going to tell you. If it's hot and sweaty, that paper is going to absorb the sweat and moisture that will accumulate in your butt cleavage. If you've ever had an itch so severe that you've needed to use the bathroom and then wash your hands afterwards, you know why this is important. If you pass a lot of gas, the paper acts as a muffler which suppresses the noise of your flatulence and also helps diffuse the smell of it as well. If you're nervous about making a good impression, such as if you're on a date or at a job interview, the peace of mind that this will give you is priceless. And finally, if you have a testy bowel that doesn't quite behave, or if you can't quite make it to the bathroom in time, this barrier serves as an emergency backup that protects your clothing and prevents a larger mess. I promise you that all of these examples are true. This technique has saved my butt more times than any other prep. Thank you for listening to my advice for the past 3 years. Remember, it doesn't cost a fortune to be prepared.
Aaron?
Yes?
You're fired.
Oh, darn.
Well, I guess it's now my turn to say goodbye. This podcast was incredibly demanding. Filling about an hour of content every single week for over 3 years was basically a 20-hour week, mostly unpaid job. I learned to edit and process audio. That really is the vast majority of this job. I learned to harass and cajole and nag contributors for their segments every week. Honestly think that's the thing they're going to look forward to most, is me not nagging them every week. I got to go to the NRA annual meeting twice, and Gun Rights Policy Conference once. I've made friends, acquaintances, and professional contacts with a wide variety of really cool people. And most importantly, I learned a lot from all the contributors over the years. While it would have been a whole lot easier to have a two-person conversational podcast, The pain and annoyance of editing audio and trying to shove 90 minutes of content into a 60-minute podcast was all worth it because I got to listen to smart people saying smart things, making me just a little bit smarter every week. I can't thank my contributors and both of my co-hosts enough. They made this show much more than a vanity project from some random opinionated guy. They made all the hard work worthwhile. Most of all, I'd like to thank you, the listeners, for downloading, listening, and subscribing, for your feedback, for your kind donations of money and equipment, for giving me a platform alongside the incredible people who made up this podcast. Thank you. Well, that's our show for this week, and for this year, and for 3 years and 3 months. Remember that Gunblog Variety Cast Radio was a proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network.
Find the show notes for not just this episode, but all episodes at gunblogvarietycast.libsyn.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Gunblog Variety Cast. Music courtesy of Rob Allen at blog.roballen.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play Music. This podcast is made possible by the Firearms Policy Coalition and by contributions from listeners like you.
Are you ready?
Yes!
Mama!
Come on, what?
Why are you laughing? I'm recording. We have to start.
Okay. Wait a minute.
Mother!
Okay!
Get it together.
I'm trying.
I'm trying to start this podcast segment, and my mother has a terrible case of the giggles for some reason. Okay.
This is a URS production.